regulated and safe. And then that will help you, right? And that's what we do with our clients. That's what you did yesterday. We're going to be asking you to do that today as well, right? And some of you do it just naturally. We do it, right, when we want to make contact with people. So I just wanted to mention that because that's how our presence and that's how the compassion that we feel, that's how we communicate it. And that presence and that compassion is what creates that sanctuary, that safe, sacred space where people can really share their deepest joys or deepest pains. So.
Yeah, I love that you're saying about that because we used to do these exercises where we would have people hold their shoulders like this. Bessel did a little bit of it, and then try to say something kind. And we said, you know, the tone of your body is equal to the tone of your voice, and the tone of your voice is equal to the tone of your body. So it's usually pretty much on par that it's hard to be in this place. We used to do this and say, okay, say something really kind and do that. We even had, we would do this with our trainees and say, okay, listen to your client from here. And it'd be up here, even just to receive, right? So all those things become important because we pick those up for safety. We pick up all those cues. So the other study that they do that's really interesting is we all talk and we use movement to talk, okay? So we used to do this exercise in our training where we would have people sit on their hands to describe something, like just something in their life. And people would get headaches because the study shows that talking allows you, the receiver, to actually get the information. And it also allows the person communicating to communicate the information. So, and that's around the world we do that. That's universal. Even if you're on the phone, you gesture. Okay, they're really essential. And they're all the ways we begin to pick up safety. So I tell you that because I worked in a psych hospital for 10 years, and I worked in this one area. I used to do groups. And so I did groups, but at that time it was called MPD, which was meant multiple personality disorder. Now it's called DID, okay? But I would do groups with this particular population like 2 to 3 times a week for an hour and a half to 2 hours. And it was normally about 15 women in this group, okay? And safety was the treatment. Everything I did, I let them know I was doing. If I picked up a pencil, I said, I'm picking up my pencil now. I'm going to scratch my eyebrow now. Okay, so I had to go from that perspective. And it took around 4 months of really, we didn't get into hardly any material. I just sat with them, we talked about whatever came up, and just kept using safety as the treatment. Okay, and so around 4 months into working with them, we used to be in this room, and it had these really heavy doors on it with just these little windows that you could see into the room. Okay. So one day I'm in there with them, and I see them putting paper over the windows. And I say, wow, what are you doing? And they said, we don't want anybody looking in anymore. And we're also realizing we must feel safe because you're in here with us. And we're actually blocking people from looking in. So that was a moment where I got information from them. Like, okay, they're at a level of safety now. Now, I had to keep maintaining it. You have to keep, that's the treatment. I had to keep working with them in that way over the course of time that I was with them. And that became really important. And that's why we want to highlight this for you, how important safety is in treating others. So I want to give you a couple other examples of what we do ultimately with each other to help bring safety about. All right. So one is acknowledging something from a client. So for instance, I had a client once who was really upset with me, and she said, you don't care about me, you don't care about me. And I was thinking, how could you accuse me of that? I pride myself on caring. This is the thing I feel like I know myself as. And you know, I was ready to defend, or I got defensive in my mind, how dare you? I got like, oh, it's because this happened in your life. But something was inside me that kept me going, I got to trust her. What is it? And I thought, oh, there is a way I don't care about her. There's a way I'm not caring for her. And I realized it was that any time I wanted to cancel an appointment or move an appointment, I called her. And I said to her, you know, you're right. I actually haven't been caring about you. And I told her that. I said, you know, when I go to cancel, or I go, I think of you first. And I said, so I really want to apologize for that. You got it. That's happening with us. Okay? That made her begin to feel safe. She said, well, you know, I have something to do with it. Which was really fascinating to me, because once you feel safe, I said, what do you think you have to do with it? She said, I always say yes. But it was a really important moment. So I said to her, okay, let's move with this. I might still call you. She goes, well, I might say no. I go, okay, good. So, but that's a safety idea, right? So apologies belong in that category of a movement from the outside. Sometimes we have to say, I'm sorry. And especially when we work with people, because there's a tendency to analyze it or think of it as part of the trauma. It is, but it's happening with you. And it's important to do it, because people then get to feel safe with you, because they feel like you're paying attention in a way that maybe others weren't with them. And I have to tell you that as we went along, there were times when I called her and she would say, no, and I mean it, or yes, and I mean it. And it was as if she was, and I would start to notice that she was getting this movement back again. Remember yesterday I talked to you about the head and neck? Okay. So the other thing that happens to you when this gets taken away, not only the scanning that happens, but what happens is the ability to say yes or no clearly gets taken away. So if you hear clients that are constantly talking about, I say yes when I mean to say no, that's a sign that they don't have a lot of movement here in their neck. Or I say no when I want to say yes to things. Okay, that's a really important sign. We listen for that when that happens. So that's where we keep doing that with safety as a treatment. I want to tell you one other story, because we did a presentation in Providence, Rhode Island for the USABP, and it was a conference on sexual abuse. And so we did a lot with this group to do safety with them. And then I was going to do a demo, and this man agreed to get on the table. And as he got on the table, he looked at me and he said to me, you look like the guy who injured me. And I was like, wow, you know. So here was the table. I stood way far away. He was on the table, and I just, and the whole session was about just me taking another step. Where was he? I went back, okay? And it took about 35, 40 minutes to where I was able to come and just touch his shoulder. And it was all safety was the treatment. And it was such a sweet session in that way. And the tears that came out when I touched his shoulder and he could feel it just soften was phenomenal to me. So we know how important this is, because we're constantly working in this arena. And so we want you to keep knowing it. I think it's Alice Miller, right, who wrote the book, The Body Doesn't Lie. Yep. Do you guys know that book? It's a great book, too. And she does, if you're reading that book, what's great about the book is she says, okay, if you're a parent reading this book and you recognize that you've done some of these things to your children, put the book down now, get on the phone, and apologize, because you'll save them 10 years of therapy. But it's a great advice, because what she knows and what she's speaking to is when someone acknowledges you, when someone says, yeah, you're right, I did do that in your direction, that creates safety. It helps you to not feel like you're crazy in some ways, because your body knows something occurred. Okay, so even with the woman in the psych hospital, they would keep telling me, I apologize to them a lot. I never was intentionally wanting to hurt them. But I knew that I had to trust their bodies, that sometimes I said something that hurt them or moved in a way that scared them. So I had to keep acknowledging that. Oh, okay. This is how I'm getting to know you. Okay. So I want to tell you one more story as a way to lead into this idea of the body being the resource and the guide. Okay. So when I used to go to this unit, and it was a locked unit, so I had keys. So every morning I would go there about 8 o'clock. I'd unlock the door, get behind, I'd lock it, and there would be this woman that would greet me at the door screaming at the top of her lungs. Screaming. This happened for maybe like 8 or 9 days in a row. And we'd walk down the hall and she'd be screaming and I'd be walking to do the group, you know. So finally about the 8th day, she sat down next to me in the group and she looked at me and she said, you think I'm crazy, don't you? And I said, no, not really. She goes, really? And this was true for me. I said to her, I think you're really brave. And she goes, well, what do you mean? Why would you say that? I said, because, you know, every morning I come here, I feel like screaming. And I never do it. You do it every day. And she said to me, oh, well, my body knows. Which I wasn't even talking to her about body stuff. I was just talking to her about, I really meant that when I said it was sincere. I mean, it was a lot to hear the screaming, but I really did feel like, wow, I wish I was that courageous to scream like that. I feel like that a lot. You know, so that idea of body as a resource is really important. Like that. So the next day I go and I unlock the door and she says, good morning. So when we get to know our body as a resource and a guide, it's so useful, right? It reminds me of the Jungian story about Cinderella, right, where they give her the peas and she has to sort the good peas from the bad peas, right? And so doves come along to help her, right? And some of the story, it's ants that come along, so I think we had one crawling up here, which is pretty appropriate. But he says after that, and I'm not quoting it exactly, but he says, there are really helping beings in the unconscious that are only located in the body. You know, I think I have the exact quote written down, which would be good to share with you because he said it so beautifully, which is, these creatures symbolize helpful, deeply unconscious impulses that can only be found in one's body and points a way out. Yeah, sure. This is Jung. Carl.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. Not Bob. Bob Jung, he never gets into this stuff. Now, so, but when he tells this story and you read the story and you're like, that's a great story, right? Because she's got to do this impossible job. But she's patient about it. And as she's patient about it, these creatures come along. Again, in some stories it's told as doves, in other stories it's told as ants that come, okay? And so he says, these creatures symbolize helpful, deeply unconscious impulses that can only be found in one's body, and they point the way out. And he wrote that back in, I don't know, 1950, 1955. I think it's in, I forget the book it's in. So that's really important. That's what we're going to look at today with you guys because we're going to talk to you, there we go, about what we do in our work. So in our work, we think it's important we take a geography, okay? The body knows geography, and that's a really important idea, as well as the herstory and the history, okay? The geography is essential, all right? And what's important about that is the geography allows you to know where you are. So when we use the word awareness, we spell it A-W-H-E-R-E-N-E-S-S. Okay? We also use the other spelling because you need both. But from a body perspective, you need to know where you are and where somebody else is. Okay? In the nervous system, that's called the proprioceptive system. Okay, so you guys probably know about that system, right? So that's in a lot of the joints, it's especially in your feet. That allows you to know where you are in space and where somebody else is in space, okay? Or where the chair is or the table, okay? It also allows one part of your body to know where another part of your body is. Okay, it's very important. This is a place that gets injured incredibly in trauma, okay? We see people with a lot of proprioceptive system disturbances.
The proprioceptive system is the place where you get your sense of self.
Yeah, and you get your sense of self because you know where you are in time and space in relation to others. So I used to work in high schools years ago, and we would notice when students got clumsier. And unfortunately, they get called clumsy, but a lot of times it was a sign that there was something going on. They were being injured. Okay, because that's what happens to us. We get a little clumsier. We trip over things. We bump into stuff. That means that system's not operating as well as it can be operational. Okay, so it's a really important system. So our touch a lot of times is addressing that system. We use our touch, and our touch we say, so we go, okay, so where is this shoulder? Where is it in relationship to the leg? Tomorrow you'll see some of that, how we do that. Okay, so that becomes important because when a person identifies where they are and where another is, then your body can be a really good resource and guide. Okay, because it will guide you instinctually because it will kind of know where things are. Don't go left because the table's there. Okay, but when it doesn't have that operational, you'll walk into the table. Okay, you'll walk into things. So that's an important idea. Now, why is that important? Because when we work with that system, it also helps us to get to interoception, okay, which are the subtle body clues inside your system, okay? So scientists, when they study this, they say, if you can get in touch with those subtle clues, how do they phrase it? You can probably realistically start to take more control of your life. That's their wording for it. Because it allows you to know where you are. And knowing where allows you to know, in a lot of ways, who you are. Because we're all here. If we didn't know we were here, we wouldn't have a clue of who we are in our sense of being here. So that's what we're going to lead you through today. We're going to lead you through an exercise that will help you look at your own proprioception. We're going to ask you to look at like places in your body that are reliable for you. Then we're going to ask you to look at like maybe where some aches or pains are in you that are calling for attention. We're going to do that. You had that stuff on the seats. We're going to use those. We're going to ask you to move around a little bit in the room to see one another. And get an idea of like what it's like in a proprioceptive world to know that you can see another, where they're at and where you're at. We're going to come back and we're going to ask you to go into the interoception. We're going to ask you to look at subtle bodily clues that tell you what that place in your body where those aches are needing or wanting or both. And then we're going to add touch. And so that's our plan for you this afternoon, to get another experience of those ideas from the body. So you want to?
So your body actually has been with you through your whole life, right? And we experience our lives through our body and the five senses. That's how we have our experiences, right? So a lot of people... Most people in the Western world really think about their bodies more as a vehicle that takes them from point A to point B to C and D. And they only really pay attention to it when it breaks down or when it hurts. But we really don't usually have a relationship with our body that says, you have some wisdom for me. You have some truth. You can show me the way. You can guide me to my place of healing. And part of the reason that we can do that is that we're not just a physical body, right? Our body is also where our emotions are, thoughts are, our spirit is, right? So tuning in and to the interoception, into our viscera, that's the other piece of the polyvagal, is that it's our viscera, our organs, that's going to be giving us the internal information. So we're going to turn today to that inner landscape and try to get to know it a little bit. Because our core sense of self comes from the awareness, as Bessel says in his book, of our sense of self comes from this. All right? So the first thing we want to do, so we're going to be asking you to check in with your body and kind of create a friendship with it, a different kind of relationship perhaps than you've had before. And as you move through this exercise, you actually will probably come to learn a little bit about your somatic language, your non-cognitive wisdom. And someone once said, being fluent in somatic language helps you think less but know more. It's an interesting idea. So sensations are the language of the body, and one way that the body communicates to us, right? We talk about messages from the body. And so that's one of the ways, is through sensation. And sensations have temperature, weight, pressure, shape, color, like that beautiful fuchsia over here. And that's the kinds of some of the images that they have, perhaps tingling, gnawing. I think Bessel talked about gut wrenching. Anyone familiar with that lump that forms in your throat just before you are going to cry or you're trying not to cry. Those are all sensations. Those are all ways that the body is trying to communicate with you. So we're going to be asking you to kind of get in touch with that today. Okay? So the first thing we're going to do is find a partner. Very similarly to the way we did yesterday, this front row, they just turn to each other, two, two, two. Everybody else kind of turn around, right? And the person behind you, these two rows, these two rows, these two rows, okay? Just turn around. There's a chair to a bench, all right? And find a partner.